Folks, this segment is brought to us by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related, Kuby's Game Processing in Dallas, where I get all my game processed, and Kuby Sausage House, Air Force Air Guns, and the Minnow Bucket on Lake Fork. Well, folks, it is time to head down to Lake Fork. Mr. Seth Vanover, my longtime buddy, is on station. We're going to talk about catching crappie during the month of March. Seth, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Luke.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Let's think about not so much what happened yesterday or the cold front that's going to blow in today and all that. Let's talk about a pattern, general pattern for March crappie fishing, looking back over your many years of March crappie fishing trips. Let's think about general patterns that might help people, not only at Lake Fork, but it, you know, the same information might be useful for somebody fishing other lakes or the crappie, you know. The spawn, I know the water temperature is key for the spawn, and I know cold fronts affects the water temperature big time. The nighttime temperature, I think, is the key player in controlling the water temperature. But as a rule, we can expect fish to be crappie now to be going shallow this month. Is that a true statement?
For the most part, what I tell people when they call me, if you want to catch them under a cork, a safe rule of thumb, the last 2 weeks of March, first 2 weeks of April, that is your prime time. Can you catch them outside that window? Sure you can, just depending on the weather. But usually that 4 week period, that is your prime time to go catch them under a cork.
Exactly.
But again, that's not the only way to go catch them during that time. That's just your prime time for cork fishing.
There are waves of them, Seth. I know that. It's not like they're going to say, okay, now they're all going to be in shallow water. There's waves, and they move in and out, don't they?
Yeah, all 30 million crappie ain't going to go up there at one time.
They're not waiting for the bell to ring, and they don't have their clock set and say it's time to go, right?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
What we do a lot in March, especially early March, is hit the free spawners, out there in the timber. We go through the live scope pickoff in timber, but it's just all these staging fish, males and females. And even during the hot heat of the spawn, in that 4 week window I was telling you about, you can still catch them out there on that deep timber. An isolated female with three males on one tree in 30 foot of water, but they're only 3 foot down on a tree, on a limb that's on a tree sticking out, and they'll spawn on that limb. And they're hyper aggressive fish, so they're easy to catch. That's a little tougher fishing than going out there and just throwing a cork in a minnow. But it can be done. And with the advancements of the electronics, that's really opened our eyes as to what these crappie do during a spawn. And they're not all up on the bank spawning. They spawn out there in that deep water. So, just keep an open mind if you have these electronics that it's not all about shallow water.
You know, Seth, I have a feeling more is going to be learned, especially about crappie, by people who fish every day. We've kind of discussed this in the past a little bit, but with the equipment such as the live scope and being able to actually see what they're doing, to really in real time look down in the water and see what they're doing, like right now, there's a tremendous amount of information is going to be gleaned in the next few years. It's already being gleaned by knowing exactly what's going on with the fish. Another thing, Seth, that say the end of this month in early April, if you don't have a boat, if you don't have a live scope, I can say this from past experience, you can get you that cork, get you up in a cove somewhere in some shallow water, get you a jig, tie that jig about 2 foot under that cork, make a long cast, and when you drag it over the right spot, you can catch crappie that way too, still, can't you?
Oh, man.
You
get the right spot, right time of day,
uh-huh,
and from the bank, you can slap beat them to death.
Yeah.
I've said there's a couple of bridges. There's one day, which is rare, I don't have a trip, and I just don't want to put the boat in the water, there's four or five bridges, up on Fork and Lake of the Pines, for that matter,
uh-huh,
that you can go sit on and just chunk a jig and a cork and just slow roll it through there. and you can flat wear them out doing that.
That is so much fun, and it's honestly, it's an easy way to fish. I mean, for even if you've got a boat, like you say, on your time off, it's a fun way to fish. It's a hit or miss thing, but man, when it's hit, you can sack them right up. And I tell you, I've still been keeping an eye on those white bass, those sand bass in the creek. That front we had about 2 weeks ago, or a week and a half, whatever it was, that Arctic front, the sand bass weren't in the creeks where we were fishing. You know, the creek I'm talking about on the upper end of Lake Fork. They weren't there yet. They weren't in there. The water was real murky, you know. And water clarity, current, it plays a factor in these spawning white bass for sure, but water clarity also plays a factor. I fished in like the Trinity down around Highway 7 down in there, down in the southern part of the Trinity River above Livingston, and you'll see that mud line, you know. Man, it's just like a barrier sometime on those white bass. They'll stay right on the clear side. It's just like a fence there. And, you know, but that, I think, as we get into March, it should be happening. I'm going to put a check on them here pretty quick and see if they're up in there. But it's about time, isn't it, you know?
It is. There was a big push that came up on the Sabine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're there. They're just scattered out because the river's still a little high. But mm-hmm. Once they make a move, you know, Snowmageddon like we had a couple weeks ago, that ain't going to push them out. Mm-hmm. It's going to hold off the next wave coming in. So it's a matter of time. You know, I hear the old wives tale, watch for the dogwoods when they're blooming.
Yep.
And usually it's about 3 weeks before that.
I know it. It's earlier. It's earlier than what we think it should be, really. I mean, it really is most of the time. But the current, the water clarity, there you go. It's in their genetic makeup to head up a creek or a river above a reservoir, and they're going to do it. So another part of the deal is hit or miss again. Got to get up there and check them and scout them out first, Seth. You know?
That's it. There's time on the water.
Yeah, and it won't be long, you know, until it's time to get those corks after those catfish, too.
No, I'm so ready for that. I love that.
That's too much. That is too much fun. Yeah,
it is. Well, Seth, that grass gets flooded. It's fun.
Oh man, I've done that with you a couple of times. And well, I tell you, I appreciate you taking some time, Seth. I know you're rigging up a new boat, and you're not that your other boat was old, but I know you're cutting edge. You got to, you know, get you a new one.
And,
you'll be, you know, that's the way these guys roll, you know. But you'll be ready for a long, fun fishing season. Folks can track you down very, very easily. Lake Fork Cat and Crappie.com are the same on Facebook, right?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Same name, Lake Fork Cat and Crappie, or just give me a call, 903-736-4557.
Well, Seth, thanks a lot, buddy, for being with us, and we'll get you back real quick and check in, see how the fishing's going. How about that?
That's the plan. Thank you, brother.
Well, folks, that was our buddy, guide Seth Van, over down at Lake Fork. You know, I've been following this up in Wisconsin, the wolf hunt that started a couple weeks ago. They put the decree out that a couple of hundred wolves could be removed. They're talking about gray wolves up in Wisconsin. It's a hot topic right now across the country, but there was a drawing, and the Native Americans up there in the northern part of Wisconsin, they actually got half. There was 200 wolves that could be removed. They got about half of them. And the people, the hunters, the rest of the state, 119, I think. And I'm going to be following that pretty close. I'm glad to see season trapping, hunting. You know, they could hunt them at night with dogs or whatever. They just wanted to remove the 200 wolves. So we want to follow that and track it along. If you can Google Wisconsin wolf hunt or whatever. But it's very interesting. Something that's been very controversial is the introduction of wolves down in Colorado, which, in my opinion, I'm no biologist, but I am pretty well tuned into the, you know, ranchers and stuff up in the mountain states. I've guided and outfitted up there in northern Colorado. They do not want wolves on their ranch land, and they don't. But environmentalists or whatever somehow made the decree to stock wolves. That'll be, I hate to say, interesting. I wish they wouldn't do it, but that's going to be happening in, I don't know when they're going to start that, but the mistake that was made in Yellowstone with the initial stocking, I'm told by biologist friends, they brought in the wolves from Alberta, the big wolf, much bigger than the native wolves there in Yellowstone back years ago, that before they were, you know, depleted there. Well, these big wolves are big enough, to hardy enough to make it up in the north country to take down a moose. Well, the elk had no chance with these animals, these critters, a pack of these big animals. So I wish they would leave things alone, me and a gazillion other people, but the upside is, at least in this Wisconsin there, the wolf season, we'll keep tracks on that and see how it goes. Folks, I've had a good time with everybody today. I hope you've enjoyed our show. Make sure and tune in next week. And remember, you can contact me anytime at catfishradio.org. Now, if you're listening on the radio right now, this show is also archived, so I don't want to mislead anybody. But today on the radio, if you're listening, March the 6th, just north of downtown Greenville, we've got our outdoor winter rendezvous going on 4 acres. If you get a chance, come by there. Randy Coon's got 4 acres right there next to Henley Auto Supply, CarQuest. It's easy to find, just a few blocks due north of downtown Greenville. We're going to have a fun time. If you get a chance, come by there and say hello. I'll have a campfire going and would love to visit with you. So make sure and tune in next week. Stop by there if you can and visit with us. Folks, this segment was brought to us by the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in southeast Oklahoma, owned by the Choctaw Tribe, 44,000 acres of prime hunting country up there. I would like you to check it out online, ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. Lots of good hog hunting during the off season, eastern turkey during the spring season, ram hunts throughout the year. It's an awesome place to go and hunt. Also brought to us by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related, and Air Force Air Guns, which is the maker of the Texan, the 45 caliber Texan that I've used the last couple of years to harvest nice whitetail bucks here in Texas during the newly appointed season that began a couple of 3 years ago. Used the Texan for a lot of other hunting too, with wild hogs, killed a ton of them and some exotics. So check out the Texan and all the fine air rifles there, airforceairguns.com. And folks, to contact me, and I wish you would, through the radio website, catfishradio.org. Take a minute and send me an email. My email address is there under Contact Luke. You may want to be a guest or just share some information with me. Again, that's catfishradio.org.